And he said, he's clean as all the earth is moved exceedingly. Look at the next one. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Now, folks, that's where the world is headed to. In verse 21, he said, it come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are upon high. This has to do with the spiritual wickedness in high places of Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities and rulers in high places. The ones that the Lord's going to come down on is those folks in the UN and all those people around the world that's trying to rule this world, just like Nebuchadnezzar. Folks, we're still in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar was trying to rule the world. He was trying to control the world. And folks, they're doing it today. They're doing it in the name of the climate. They're doing it in the name of so many things around the world, trying to get pity, trying to get control of people, playing upon their feelings. And folks, I think we need to do all we can to help people in need. But these people are making merchandise of these people. They're using them as poster childs for their own gain. He says here that they are upon high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. The Lord's going to come down on every one of them. Verse 22. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. He's talking about bringing them together before the judgment. And after many days shall they be visited. Talking about bringing them up at the judgment of the great white throne. Verse 23. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and for his ancients glorious. All the old patriarchs, Abraham and all of them, will be brought up into the kingdom, and the moon shall be confounded, he said, the sun ashamed, because before this they've turned to blood during the tribulation period, and the Lord is coming back and setting upon his kingdom. Look with us where we're going to now, next. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now here, Peter takes a slant on the very same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, but the day of the Lord will come. Now, the day of the Lord is always a reference to the second coming of the Lord. It's when the Lord comes to establish his kingdom. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This is not talking about the rapture. It's talking about the day of the Lord, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And even at this point right here, he's moving it 1,000 years into the future. He says, and with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Look at verse 11. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So there's the question. If we believe that this old world is going to be dissolved and burned up, if we believe that all this is going to end up dissolved in smoke, what manner of person ought we to be? Should we be worried and spend our time and resources on the environment, or should we be concerned about the souls of people that's dying without a Savior? We've got to put our priorities in the right place. I see people that their whole life is made up around the liberal, progressive direction that the world has taken them, thinking again that they can make this world a better place to live. Folks, it's going to be a better place to live when Jesus Christ comes again and sets up his kingdom, and we come back with him. He's going to make this world a better place to live. Nobody else can do that. And there's no need of wasting your time, your money, or your vote on anybody that makes you think they can. Verse 12. Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now again, think about that. I love the next two verses. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, Peter talking about the believers, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, on the new heaven and new earth, it's going to be perfect. You won't have to worry about the climate. You won't have to worry about pollution. You won't have to worry about contamination. The Lord's taking care of all them problems. So why should we worry about an old world that's going to be dissolved and melt with fervent heat someday? It ain't got much longer to go. Do the best you can with what you got. But spend your time rejoicing in the fact that God made us a promise. And look what he says. A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know who's going to live there? The Lord in us. We're going to dwell with righteousness. He is righteousness. Look in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, and we do, be diligent that ye be may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, we should be the most calm people in the world. Stress should be the last thing that would even bother us. When you think about it, the Lord's done take care of our eternity. He's took care of us a place to live. He's took care of every problem that you can imagine. And think about this, every one of us here have problems, don't we? Dot's got a problem. We've all got problems. But if the Lord come right now, all of our problems would be solved. He's still going to be here now, but the Lord's going to fix all these rough edges on all of us. You can't think of one problem that you've got right now that wouldn't be taken care of when the Lord comes. And he's got a place prepared. And he says that we may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. That means we don't need to be tangled up in this old world and get spotted up and get involved in things that's controversial in this old world. We should be at peace about all these things. And when people, again, I'm going to say this one more time, environmental people really bother me because it seems like they don't have no life. That's all they've got is that. If they, you take an environmentalist that's born again and looking for that right there, it'd be hard for him to really do his job sometimes. But now, you know, we've still all got a job. But I want us to realize, again, the distractions that the world tries to put in us. And you can talk to young people today. And I do. I ask them a lot of times what they're thinking about. And ask them, about the environment and the future and what they're going to be doing and stuff like that. They're really worried about those things. What we need to be sure is they understand about their soul and where they're going to spend eternity. That's more important, by far more important. But so many people today are distracted, young and old alike, and worried about things that they shouldn't be worried about whatsoever. Let's go down to Daniel chapter 3, and let's look at a couple things right here. We're going to jump just a few little things here. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Now, here we are. The image is set up. The music's playing. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have not went along with the king. And Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Look at the next verse. He says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods. We looked at this last week, but I want you to understand again that they were many gods, but he were bringing them together under one God. And this is the same thing that happens during the tribulation. There is going to be just as many religions at the beginning of the tribulation as they are right now. But the Antichrist, the first 4.5 years, he's going to bring that thing down and he's going to condense it down that when you get to the middle of the tribulation and you start into the second half of it, they're all going to be changed into one image. And that image is going to be an image of the beast. And this is, we got two more classes after the night, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on that beast for the next 2 weeks. We will not finish, but we're going to get a little bit further. Now let's go on to Jeremiah. Go on to Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Hear ye the word of the Lord speaking to ye, O house of Israel. Verse 2. Thus said the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heaven are dismayed at them. Verse 3. Make a picture of this. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with an axe. Verse 4, they deck it with silver and with gold. It's almost like a Christmas tree, ain't it? They fastened it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, that means carried, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is in them to do good. Jeremiah's trying to tell them, these are idols, these gods are nothing, they're handmade. They're made with hands. They're nothing. And let's go to, we're going to skip just a little bit further down. Go to 2 Kings chapter 23, and let's look at a few verses of Scripture, verse 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover of the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. And notice how he says, surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah. Now they're talking about Josiah. He became king when he was 8 years old. At 8 years old, he had more than the whole rest of the whole bunch. And sometimes, have you ever noticed when a little kid gets saved, you ever talk to them much the first few days after they get saved? They say the most, it's funny, but they say the most serious things when they first get saved. There's a lot of wisdom in a young heart that has believed upon the Lord. He says in verse 23, but in the 8th year of King Josiah, 18th year, which means he was 8 and 18, is 26 year old, wherein is this Passover was holden to the Lord of Jerusalem. It hadn't been done for years. Verse 24, moreover, the works of the familiar spirits and the wizards and the image and the idols and all the abominations were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, did Josiah put away. You can't worship God till you get rid of the distractions. He knew that. A young man that knew that. He says here, did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. See, when he could become king, the scriptures went in and out. They was in the house of God. They was kind of, the house of God had been closed up, so to speak, and the dust had covered everything, and they brought it out. And when the law was read to him, the boy got under conviction, and he overhauled Israel spiritually, verse 25. And like unto him was there no king before him. Look at that. That turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his mind according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him rose there any like unto him. What a testimony. This man's been dead for 2,500 years and the Lord's still bragging on him because he done it with all of his heart. He got rid of the distractions. He was not afraid to get rid of the cults and name them by name and get rid of them and cleanse his nation. Look in let's go to chapter 50, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard, publish and conceal not to say, Babylon is taken, Baal is confounded. That's one of the false gods of Babylon. Mordak, another false god of Babylon, is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded, meaning more of them. Her images are broken in pieces. Verse 3. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate. And this is talking about the Medo Persians when they came in. And none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. So we see that even though Nebuchadnezzar keeps repenting about all these things, in the final end, when Babylon was destroyed, it was still full of idols. Babylon was still contaminated. It was full of idols. Look at Jeremiah chapter 51. Let's go down to verse 24. And I will render into Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Now this is before it happened. Look at the next verse. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes. Just what I said, the Medo-Persians, the captains thereof, and all the land of his domination. The Lord allows idol worship, but he don't tolerate it long. He allows countries like us to act like a bunch of heathens, but he don't let us act this way long. The warnings that God gave to these people in the Old Testament and God follows through and destroys them because of it, it ought to wake us up. But as a nation, were slumbering and sleeping through these things. Look at the next verse. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. This is 60 to 70 years before it was ever destroyed. Had Nebuchadnezzar heard Jeremiah and these things right here, it probably wouldn't have made a bit of difference, because he heard Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego testifying to their God. And oh boy, every time you can read about Nebuchadnezzar, you think, that old boy got right. In the next chapter, he's as big a heathen as he was in the chapter before. I don't know what's going on with the guy. The revival didn't stick, did he, Walt? He said, the land shall tremble. Go to the next verse. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holes. Their might hath failed. They became as women. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't want to get into something too controversial here, but you've heard people getting panicky and screaming. So maybe that's what they're doing. They became as women. They have burned their dwelling places. Her bars are broken. So they burnt part of their house on the way out. Look at the next verse. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. And that king that happened to was Belshazzar, and that was in Daniel chapter 5 that this happened, some 50, 60 years later. So we're going to go a little bit further, because I want to use our next 12, 13 minutes on something a little bit different. Let's go down to Numbers chapter 33, Brother Steve. Now, the reason I want you to see this, we've talked about something in the last few weeks about art and music. And I want to be sure that soaks in really, really good. Because there's something about, and this is more apt for men than women, is when men see things, it tends to affect men different than it does women. And there's something, hold that place and go over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, then we're going to come back. There's something about when you see something. Notice this. John says, and this is in AD 95, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and that's the things that just drives us. I mean, the flesh, it's never satisfied. But I want you to look at the next one. And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the eyes. We as a people want to see. We want to see. We pay a lot of money to go see things, don't we? A lot of money. One of the biggest industries in our country, entertainment, is all based on the big money we pay to see things, back in Numbers 33. Now, when the Lord sent His people and brought them in to the promised land, He told them something. Now, the people that lived there was very wicked people. And He told them to drive them out, speaking to the children of Israel, saying to them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, look close. Then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. They didn't belong there anyway. The Canaanites were supposed to be living in Africa. They weren't supposed to be there anyway. The Lord allowed them there. Genesis chapter 15, He allows them to be there until their transgression is full. And He tells Israel to go in and move them out and destroy all their pictures. Did you see that? Folks, if they ain't nothing jumps out more at you tonight than that right there, if nothing else jumps out, I want that to jump out. Because the Lord was concerned when the nation of Israel got into the land of Canaan that they see something that they shouldn't look at. And I'm gonna call that, just for the moment, I'm going to call it pornography. And it was something that would destroy them as a people. He said, destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molding images. There was many of them. Now, you seen a while ago when Josiah was leading up that revival, them images was all over the nation of Israel. They didn't do a very good job of doing what they were supposed to do for the Lord, and it come to haunt them too. When we don't obey the Lord, it causes trouble. He says, and quite pluck down all their high places. Now, I like, there ain't nothing more straighter than the King's English. When you say that quiet plucked down, I mean that's every bit of it. If your mama tells you to go out and pull all the corn, you pull all the corn. When you go out and pluck down all the high places, you're supposed to get rid of all of them. But they didn't, because they wanted to coexist. You ever seen them bumper stickers on them hippies driving their 1973 Datsuns? Coexist. I'm meddling, ain't I? You pull up behind that guy at a red light, and it says coexist. And it said, his whole trunk of his car's got stickers all over it. And you pass him up there, and he's like this. You know, he's in another world anyway. You can't coexist with the devil. He needs to move before you move in. And folks, that's good no matter what you're getting involved in. Before you move into anything, you be sure the devil's done moved out. Now, look close at this. Look in verse 53. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land. Now, that means, again, in another way, is get rid of them, and they have no right to come back. Dispossess means that you have repossessed. In other words, you own it now, they don't. They have no business there, because God gave it to them. And dwell there, and for I have given you the land to possess it. See what it says? The Lord gave them a clear title for it. But if you'll read and study the book of Joshua and the book of Judges, you'll find out that they did not move the inhabitants out. They moved in with them. And folks, they never did get to enjoy the promised land as God wanted them to because of it. Any question right in there? Okay. Okay, go ahead. High place is what's called a grove. It can be a stack of rocks, anything that's used to worship a false god. Most of it was done on mountains. It was done on ridges, but altars was built all over that part of the country, and they would offer burnt sacrifices to different gods. So a high place would be a place of an altar on a mountain or, you know, a plateau or something. Grove is a meeting place also. It's usually temporary made. Grove is more of a temporary thing that would be for a short season, where a high place would be more of a permanent place that would be used over and over. Any other questions right in there? The groves also, if you'll take your Strong's Concordance, look up groves, it'll give you probably a dozen examples of them through the Scripture. And they were mostly temporary. Okay, let's go over Thomas Kincaid. Now, the reason I want you to look at the contrast between that, Thomas Kincaid was the artist of light. And everything that he painted looked like it was plugged up. You ever notice that? You ever looked at somebody's work? And you can look at it, and it's just so pleasant, so peaceful. And I don't know nothing about him as a person. I've read a little bit about him. He's dead now. I think he died in 2012. But his artwork is something you can look at, and you can have peace about. But there was something about the Canaanites and their pictures, God said to destroy them. The contrast between that. Remember the group called KISS? Everybody remembers them, don't you? Fine fellas there. A little bit of makeup. Now, there's where, and this was, when I started preaching 40 years ago, this group had just got started. Now, that's a bunch of old men now. And I think you see some of them on TV, some of them bumping 70 years old. The reason I want you to look at that right there, that is the direction that our country's been going in for a long, long time. Now, one of my favorite groups is the Isaacs. Now, look at the comparison. And there's old Bill Gaither up there. Now, those folks right there, their mother was part of the Holocaust. The lady on the far left, her mother was part of the Holocaust. A family that loves the Lord, sings for the Lord. And you can listen to that music, and you can tap your foot and think about heaven. You can listen to KISS, and you feel like you can smell the smoke of hell coming up around your feet. It's just that much difference. There's such a contrast today that you wonder how in the world people even get confused and get misled. But folks, the world is blind. There's so much going on today, and so many people is distracted. You're not familiar with the Isaacs? Yeah. Oh, okay. I started saying. I thought Bill said, who is them folks? Okay, let's go down and we'll close here. Just a couple of verses of Scripture. Let's go down to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. And let's look at a couple things here about what the Lord says. When Isaiah prophesied, he said, but now thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Look at verse 2. When thou passest through the waters. Now, the reason I want you to see this, this was a prophecy that Isaiah prophesied way, way many years before Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was even born. They hadn't even come about yet. Babylon was only a prophecy over the hill. He says, I will be with thee through the rivers. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Now, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were Bible believers. They believed God's word. They believed God's prophet. And they knew what that said right there. And when Nebuchadnezzar told them that if they didn't bow down, he'd cast them in that furnace over there. You know why it didn't bother them? Because they believed what God said. God had done made a promise, if you ever get in the fire, you won't get burned. And when he went in there, Nebuchadnezzar, when we talked about this last week, when he looked in there, he seen a fourth image, and that image was likened to the Son of God. And I believe about that time, the furnace started cooling down just a little bit. I believe things started changing real fast because Nebuchadnezzar seen the difference in their God and the gods that he was worshiping. And again, when you look at, you know, the evidence is there throughout the Scripture over and over. Why does the people catch on? Why don't the people learn from all this? And you look around today and it's the same thing. You say, my goodness, why cannot people see that they need a Savior? They need a promise. They need hope. Why can they not see that? But the world has got them so distracted, folks, on things that don't matter, that they cannot see what really matters. And our job as Bible believers is to talk to them about what really matters. And that's where they're going to spend eternity. Anybody got a question on anything we covered tonight? Feel free to now. Now, next week, here's our plan. We're going to go into chapter 4 next week. And we're going to spend just a little time in chapter 4 because it lays down the welcome mat for chapter 7. Now, we won't deal with 5 and 6 because this study is not about everything in Daniel, but the prophecies of Daniel. So next week, we're going to go into chapter 4, and we're going to deal with a little bit of the things that come about from there, and then we're going to go into chapter 7. Now, chapter 7 has to do with the lion, it has to do with the bear, it has to do with the leopard, and it has to do with that dreaded beast, the four beasts, in Daniel chapter 7. Now, how many people's got a study Bible, Scofield study Bible, or any kind of study Bible? If you look in chapter 7, it'll start off and it'll tell you that lion is Babylon. It cannot be Babylon. Because Babylon, the Nebuchadnezzar, and that's who they say it is dead and gone. And Babylon is fallen, and it's talking about the beast that will come. And when you get to the end of the chapter, I'm going to give you a little bit to think about. When you get to the end of the chapter, it talks about the beast, the last beast, the Antichrist. He is thrown into the lake of fire. The other three beasts will live another year and a half. It has nothing to do with Babylon. It has nothing to do with the Medo-Persian Empire. It has nothing to do with the Grecian Empire. It has to do with the powers that will be upon this earth in the last days. It has to do with all of them at one time. All four of them. Now the commentators will tell you it was Babylon which is gone, Medo-Persian which is gone, Grecian which is gone, and the Roman Empire revived, standing last days. But if you'll study the Bible and read what it says, it will tell you these are powers that will come, not powers that have been, because Nebuchadnezzar's already been. It has to do with the powers, and they all exist at the same time, and they all will exist when the Lord returns. So next week we'll get into that. We've got two more weeks, and we'll spend the next 2 weeks on the beast. Anybody got a question before we close? Appreciate you being with us. We thank you, Heavenly. In these last days, help us, Lord, as we speak to others, as we witness to others about their need for a Savior, Lord. Help us and open doors and give us opportunities that we could reach those that's closest to eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. For